When we think of the disciples of long ago, that unique and unusual band of 12, specifically handpicked by Christ, we probably have catchphrases which we associate with each of them. For example, when we think of Judas, we may remember him as Judas the betrayer. When we think of Peter, we remember he denied Christ 3 times. When we think of John, we tend to recall that he is described as the disciple Jesus loved. But when we think of Thomas, well, for some reason, we can't help but label him as doubting Thomas, a name which can lend itself to many unkind thoughts and assumptions. I feel quite often Thomas is given a bad rap, and doubting may not accurately describe his true character. When we use words such as doubt, we become suspicious that this is a person who is uncertain, insincere, or even a bit shady. Perhaps this is the complete opposite of who Thomas really is. Perhaps Thomas is simply one who has an inquiring mind, one who needs to gather facts in order to make sound and rational decisions. Perhaps Thomas is one who requires a bit more than the other disciples in order to trust and believe. Perhaps Thomas needs to see, feel, and touch in order to be certain about who and where he will place his faith and trust. The doubt that often describes Thomas is expressed well in this quote. His doubt had a purpose. Thomas wanted to know the truth. His doubt gives evidence not of a lack of faith, but of a desire to have faith founded in fact. And so it is in this need-to-know approach in which John allows us to witness a faith community who have come to terms with their walk in many different ways. Each disciple experienced their journey with Christ, witnessing firsthand healings and miracles. They saw Christ raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. They witnessed Christ talking with a culturally forbidden woman at the well, and observed Christ as he retreated into the wilderness for solitude and prayer. In each of their experiences with Christ, the disciples had their own questions, their own doubts, and their own fears. In each situation, this band of 12 were indeed all works in progress, responding as best they could, based upon their personal thoughts and fears. It may be difficult to fully embrace that the disciples shared a portion of disbelief. I don't believe any of the disciples could fully understand all that occurred right before their eyes. And I am certain that they too were worried and maybe often fearful of the price they might have to pay for simply following Christ. And it is because of this that I wonder if doubting Thomas is the appropriate title for the twin. Perhaps today, Thomas simply models for us how to dig deep and how to ask questions in our uncertainties. Perhaps Thomas is the example of how to find space to struggle with what we believe, of how much we believe, and if any of it will make a difference in our lives. Just as the disciples, we too think and process in many different ways and have varying perspectives in our daily walk with Christ. I believe we in some way can all relate to Thomas. We all have questions that are seeking answers, and quite often, we are not always willing to move quickly across the line until we have found a solution. And then there also are those of us whose doubts are not of God, but are rather of ourselves. We may be consumed with our failings, our shortcomings and weaknesses. We may sometimes wonder or doubt, how can God use us? And perhaps we even have concerns about how we, in our brokenness, can fit into the plans and purposes of the resurrected Christ. If we are honest, in many ways, we all share in the character of a doubting Thomas. And just perhaps it is each of us who is actually the twin to Thomas. Perhaps we are also the one who struggles, the one who seeks, the one who has to work hard in order to understand God's ways and our roles as disciples. Thomas indeed had many questions and concerns, yet there is something great and endearing about him. Once Thomas made up his mind about something, there was nothing that could stop him. And if we pause to think about it, would we rather have a person who would make a shallow commitment, or would you rather have someone on your side who takes the time to do their research and one who processes deeply in order to make a deep and abiding commitment to stay the course? William Barclay once stated, "Faith was never an easy thing for Thomas. Obedience never came readily for him. He was the man who had to be sure. He was the man who had to count the cost. But once he was sure, and once he had counted the cost, he was the man who went to the ultimate limit of faith and obedience." I don't know about you, but I see Thomas as one who had a deep and an abiding devotion to Christ. And if I'm building a team of disciples, it is Thomas that I want on my team. Today, our brother shows us he was one who perhaps longed for Christ's fellowship and teachings, although he didn't always understand. Each of us responds to the challenges of life differently, and there is no right or wrong in how we process. We have varying families of origin and factors which influence our decisions. And we have the freedom to process our individual thoughts, deeds, and actions to ensure that in the end, we are healthy and hopeful, strengthened, and redeemed. I believe this is who Thomas was, and his message through John is much deeper than that of a doubter. I believe from what we are shown about Thomas that he was simply striving, like we are, to be a beloved disciple and a faithful follower. But he needed to be certain that all he witnessed and shared with Christ was real, true, and meaningful. The good news today is that eventually Thomas believed, and his faith was restored through an open invitation by Christ for Thomas to taste and see by touching, seeing, and feeling. It is helpful to note during his growth into discipleship, Thomas believed, then lost faith, and finally returned to even greater faith. Some of us will have variations of this process. The beauty in our relationship with Christ is that Jesus never forces us into belief, but gently guides us into truth with gentleness and kindness, understanding and mercy, and even withstands many of our sometimes quirky moods and behaviors. And as we stumble along each rocky path of our journey, through each question, doubt, or fear, if we can yet hold on, Christ blesses us with even greater faith. Today, Christ invites each of us to examine him, to know him, and yes, even to question him. John Wesley is said to have struggled with disbelief himself. As an Anglican priest one morning, he found himself cry out, "Lord, help me with my unbelief." He wrote in his journal that he felt dull and not motivated to pray for his own salvation. But a friend is said to have interrupted and invited him to attend a Bible study where someone was reading Martin Luther's preface to the Romans, which described the change in which God works in the heart through faith. Wesley is said to have written at that moment that his heart felt strangely warmed and his trust in Christ renewed. In other words, the risen Christ had appeared to Wesley, and his faith had finally become a true conviction, a living, breathing reality. And as a result, Wesley spent the rest of his life seeking to grow in his love of God and to share that love with all he encountered. This type of life-altering belief is the type of faith that Jesus was asking of his disciples, of Thomas, and of each of us today. My sisters and brothers in Christ, at the heart of our commission is the question we too must answer. Do we have such faith as this? And are we willing to go out into the world and share it with others? Thomas's disbelief really fits well with what Josh McDowell once said. My heart cannot rejoice in what my mind rejects. Thomas could not, would not accept a story about the risen Christ until he witnessed it firsthand. As we move through our individual dimensions of faith, may we too feel the touch of the Holy Spirit, which breaks through and breathes life into our faithless and doubting hearts, causing us to cry out like Thomas and in confidence, "My Lord and my God." Amen.